Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18. We read the first 8 verses. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. And he said, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So far the reading of God's Word. His Word will never return to him void, so let us take it and let us make it our own, also in obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, loved ones in the Lord, in the previous sermon, as we are still busy with the wonderful theme of God's kingdom and how kingdom children are supposed to live, the last part of this series, we are now focusing on persistent prayer. Why that is important for us as children of the living God, those who belong to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the previous sermon last week, we learned that we have to pray persistently, and because everything in relation to the furthering of God's kingdom, God wants to give us. If I pray for repentance, God wants to give it to us. If we pray for spiritual growth, God wants to give it to us. There's no doubt about it. And that's why we cannot always take these passages. Remember the increasing words that was used, or sentences to tell us how to pray persistently, that Jesus said, ask and you will find, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, ask and you will receive. Those things, you cannot apply that on all levels of life. You have to ask yourself, what does that have to do with the kingdom of God? Because God wants to give us that is in connection with his kingdom and is good for us. Without repeating that, we will focus on that again as we go through this passage this morning. So I hope you have seen the intensity as it increased in those words that we covered last week. Do not stop. Keep on praying. Persist in prayer. So before we start with today's passage, let me ask you once more, do you work hard when you pray? Or is that just the little leftover time that you set aside with a few words before you fall asleep that you ask God, thank you for the day, be with me through the night, bless my family and of all my loved ones, amen. Prayer is supposed to be planning. Prayer needs to be planned. Prayer is hard work. If we really listen what God is teaching us, and we're not going to go into the detail of the whole theme of prayer, but I think we've already seen that it is so important that we honestly work hard when we pray, that we are also persistent in our prayers. So let me ask you this, when we focus not on the things that we so often focus, because truly, I think we often focus so much on the physical needs that we have, our health, the things that I need, my food, my car, the way my house, you know, the good house or the nice house that I want. All those kind of things sometimes take precedent and becomes the more important things that you and I focus on. But how many times do we focus on the spiritual things that is so important in our lives? Those things that God wants to give us. My growth in my knowledge of God's Word, for instance. So when was the last time you prayed with vigorous, I say vigorous persistence for your own spiritual growth? Say, Lord, I am not happy where I am. I want to do better. I want to be excellent in your service. When was the last time that you prayed for your obedience to the Lord? Or as you come to the point in your life where you are satisfied with the minimum, God will be okay. God understands me. So I don't have to worry about my sins. I don't have to worry being taught about the Ten Commandments, because it's okay. God knows me. What's the last time that you pray to serve the Lord? As I said, excellently, and pray for your children and grandchildren and those whom you know to follow Christ wholeheartedly. Because there's a tendency in our lives, we battle, just as Israel battled against it, to serve the Lord only with a part of our hearts, right? This part belongs to God, but this part still belongs to the world. Also, I wanted you to remember, that's why I repeat it, when we talked about persistent prayer last week, it does not mean that you and I can continue to pray until you get your way. That is not what it means. Because God will always give us what He knows is the best for us. Because He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And He does it because He loves His children, for the sake of Jesus Christ, whom He has given as the greatest price to pay for us to belong to Him forever. Why would He now, if He has given us not only His Son, but the greatest gift, remember we said last week was what? The Holy Spirit that dwells in us now. Why would He, if He gives us the best and the greatest gift, now give us the things that is not good for us in our lives? Even though we might think it is. No, He won't. He sometimes protects us from ourselves, and that's a good thing. Thus, Jesus continued to emphasize how important it is for us to persist in our prayers. The parable before us, as we read here in Luke chapter 18, will guide us to an even better understanding of persistent prayer, so that we won't have to speculate. Jesus make it, as He has done so often with His parables, very clear what this passage is about. He says, now He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So Jesus' teaching went again beyond that of the Jews, who tended to limit the times of prayer lest they weary God, if that's possible. Three times a day, on the model of Daniel 6 verse 10, was accepted as the maximum. God says, pray. Jesus says, pray at all time and do not lose heart. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear this truth from Jesus in the times that we are living in right now, even this week. Yes, God's people also become discouraged. We are worried about children. We are worried about family. We are worried about those who are sick. We are worried about those who stray from the Lord. You name it. There are so many things that we are concerned and even discouraged about. We are afraid of COVID. But it seems as if Christians have just given up. Even when it comes to this virus. It's almost when you talk to people that they have accepted it kind of as a new normal. But that's a worldly term. Jesus tells us, pray at all times and do not lose heart. even amidst of these trials, even amidst of our conflict that we experience with these things that we see around us, He wants us to shine our lights. He wants us to speak the truth so that people could come to Jesus Christ, who is the only hope that you and I have. So I want to ask you, do we just sit and wait to see what happens? I guess wait is okay. There are times. But I always think about it this way. I think wait is okay, but only if you prayed first. You remember who sat on his tower, his watchtower, and waited? I've referred to that many times. Habakkuk. He was waiting for the Lord to answer him after he prayed. There's a time for wait, but then you wait on the Lord. Then you wait on his answer. And then you go to his word to find those answers. There are times that we are impatient. There are times that we look at the world around us and wonder, why do they have it so easy? Many of those that we know in our streets, in our neighborhood, you think, life is so careless for them. Or we look at the world and wonder, will it ever get better? Well, face it, the more the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, the more our faith matures, and the closer we live to God, and the more the Holy Spirit then also alienates us from the world. And that's a good thing. Because this world is not our dwelling place. But while we live in this world, we have to live as kingdom children. Children who belong to, you remember when we started off with this series, said this kingdom can never be stopped by anyone or nothing. Because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and He rules, and He will take His kingdom because He is already victorious, till one day that all will bow the knee before Him. And part of our responsibility and privilege is to pray persistently. Now let me go and take you just, we break down the parable and I take you first to the people in the parable. First we see the judge. We learn that this judge did not fear God, and that also he had no regard for man. In other words, he was just a plain selfish man, the typical narcissist. He did not want to be inconvenienced. Everything had to go his way. And we also see that Jesus called him an unjust and unrighteous judge. And that must not come to us as a surprise. Because if you don't fear God, and if you don't have regard for other people, there is no way that you can glorify God in your life. All that mattered to you then is I, me, and myself. You know that story. The second person that we meet here is the widow. What do we learn about her? She said that, we read that she had an opponent in a lawsuit. That is the meaning of the Greek word for adversary. So she had an adversary. And this person, we can assume, then wronged her terribly so that she could not stand this any longer, and she had to go to a judge to fix the situation for her. So she sought the help of this judge against this adversary. But she had a problem. The judge refused to give her justice. She wanted legal protection from her opponent, but with no success. And I don't know whether she didn't have the money to pay him or not, it's not said, but the point is he did not help her. But she, we'll see later, she had a specific attitude about it. But then we see that this judge, suddenly, after it's been said that he didn't want to help her, suddenly changed his mind. But it was not for the right reasons. Clearly, he did not feel bad. He did not want to do right in the eyes of God. Neither did he care for the woman suddenly, or felt sorry for her. No, once again, he was motivated by his own selfishness. Listen again what he said. Even though I do not fear God nor respect men, yet because the widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wears me out. You see, it's all about her. And because of that, he said, okay, let me just fix this problem quickly. So, I think we can clearly make this assumption that this woman was indeed persistent. I mean, that's what Jesus wanted to tell us here. She came again and again to ask him for protection. It was something very important to her. Clearly, the judge only wanted to get rid of her because she was annoying. She was literally wearing him out. And because he was afraid to put up with her too long, he did what he did. Now, I want you to see the contrast in the parable. Because to interpret the parable, we could easily jump to wrong conclusions here. Is the parable intended to be a comparison or a contrast with God's dealing with us? I think you will agree with me, definitely not comparison with God's dealing, but a contrast with God's dealing with us. Listen now how he did it. He says, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? That's verse 6, last part, and verse 7. So there's actually several contrasts in the parable. The widow was a stranger. God's people were his elect. The woman was only one. We, God's children, are many. The judge was an unrighteous judge. We have a righteous father. She had no certainty that the judge would answer her. We always may have the certainty that God will listen and answer us. For the sake we heard this morning of whom? Of his own son, Jesus Christ. So that is indeed a comforting contrast. You will agree with me on that. Jesus said that even if an unrighteous man, someone that was described as not having any respect for God or any concern for man, even if he will eventually hear the cries of the needy, the persistent one, how much more will our righteous God not listen to us when we come to him and keep on asking? And will he not give justice to us, to the elect who cry to him, as he says here, day and night? Will he delay long over me? Based on personal experience, I'm sure you've also sometimes wondered, why does God not answer me? Sometimes you might feel you are the only one who suffers under the hand of adversaries, while Christians across the world suffer indeed. There's a good example in the Bible where the psalmist actually experienced this same thing. And that was Asaph in Psalm 73. He looked around him, and all around him he saw how the ungodly had no worry seemingly. The wicked prospered. The arrogant are not in trouble as others are. And they are full of pride, and violence covers them, he says, like a garment. And they get away with their evil. How many times have we not said that in the last 5 years? So even Asaph come to the conclusion that it is the righteous God who suffer until God shows him. I mean, he said that is indeed what it looks like. But then God revealed something to him extra, and he understands everything. So he had this misconception until God reveals to him what the end of the godless is. The terrible end, when they will stand before the judgment seat of the living God. Then, whether they were seemingly prosperous or happy or fat because of all they had, it won't mean a thing. I think often we feel like Asaph when we see what is happening around us. even in our nation. Christians suddenly have to defend truths that were always accepted. It's like the pendulum has swung so severely that we are now ridiculed by unbelievers and pretend believers for the things we held dear to our hearts for many, many ages, and which the Scripture often is very, very clear on. And I promise, I cannot make that promise, but I am certain that even in the churches we will see more and more, if we do not hold onto the Word of God steadfastly, that people will eventually leave our midst because we do not reckon with certain sins and accept it as sin anymore. They want it to be excused. And I tell you, we will be challenged by that. And you and I need to stand firm and trust God, because His truth never, never changes. It's always the same like Himself. More and more, we see how a twist here and there is added to the truth, and how even well-intended Christians follow that because they do not know their Bibles. So may we continue to study, and may you continue to have appreciation for a worship service where literally every aspect of our worship service is based upon God's Word. In our own lives we struggle, as I said in the beginning, with children who are drawn away from God and toward the love for this world, or with trials and battles at work, with an unfair or incapable boss, perhaps, or with a production market who is not able to deliver what I need to run a smooth business right now and pay my staff, or with colleagues who mock you with behind-the-back remarks, or even openly look at you funny because you take a stance for what is right in the eyes of God. I don't know all the circumstances that you experience, but these things happen. We are concerned, as I said, about the virus and our health. We are concerned about our country and our children's future. We are concerned about our businesses and employees and jobs and retirement. You name it. I think if we had a whiteboard here, we could make a long list of all the things that we are concerned about. But I wish we have the same concerns about our walk with God, our faithfulness in His service, our obedience to His commandments. I wish we had the same concerns for our greatest adversary, the devil, who wants to destroy us, if he could. He always, and you must remember that, always wants to draw us away from the Lord. Even in trials specifically, like with the COVID virus we experienced. But not only that trial, with many other trials. While He wants to do that, what does God want to do? God always wants to draw us closer unto Himself. God wants us to use the trial for our good, to build us up in our faith. Our adversary, the devil, wants to use that trial to make you doubt God. Even when you struggle with health for a long time, you have experienced that doubt from time to time. He wants you to become unfaithful in your service of the Lord Jesus Christ and breaks you away from the body of Christ, the church. And God just wants to do the opposite. The injustice, the attacks of the evil one, and even the persecution of the church of Jesus Christ, it will continue. And it's important that you and I be ready for that. But if we are not exercised in how to walk with God day by day, how will we stand firm in times like that? We don't know when it will stop. Even this virus, it's all in God's hands. But the promise of God is that He will give justice. Even when it comes to unfairness, even if there are things behind the scenes that you and I don't know of, whether we are later on persecuted, doesn't matter what our circumstances are, the Christian may live with the assurance that he has a just Father, a righteous Father, who will give justice. Remember the words of the souls under the altar in Revelation 6, verse 9 and further on. You can go and read that again. Who were they? They were those who had been slain for the Word of God and for the witness that they had made and born in the world while they were still alive. And they sitting under the altar and they asked, how long? And I'll come to that. They actually says, yeah, I cannot get to that. That's too much info for now. But he says, they say, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell in the earth? How long? The Lord revealed this many centuries ago to the old apostle John. And those of the persecuted church who already died are still waiting, while they continue to cry to the Lord persistently. And we, in our prayers for how long, O Lord, is this going to continue, joins in with them. But it's not that it goes to a God who doesn't hear, but he reminds us that he has his own time. It's not the right time yet. In the meantime, while there are still many other things to happen first, you and I need to be faithful. You and I need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. And you and I need to pray persistently. Remember the warning of the apostle in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You are not the only one who suffers. The devil is our greatest adversary. So often in disputes that people have, they make each other an enemy. It's not the enemy. The enemy is truly that adversary, the devil himself. We should watch against him. We need to be watchful. We need to resist him. And one of the ways the Lord has given us and teach us here is to pray persistently. God's elect cry out to him day and night. We need to become more and more a praying church. Praying with persistence. Is that what we do? Could it be said about you that you cry to the Lord day and night? And if not, is it because perhaps you started to doubt prayer? Or doubt God even? Doubt that He could do what you are asking for? Then I want you to hear again this morning. I said it and I'm saying it again. He will give justice. In Exodus chapter 24, when God sent Moses to deliver the people, we hear, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered what? His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. He has a covenant with us in Jesus Christ. And today is no different. It also is true for us because of that covenant. Yes, Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for the elect who cry to him day and night? I tell you, will give justice to them speedily. Our Lord Jesus Christ is actually already the proof that God will do this for His children. The injustice done to him will never be left unpunished. And because we are engrafted in Christ through faith, we may live with that same certainty. God's enemies will always be punished. He will give justice speedily. But to whom? To those who cry to Him day and night. That belongs to our lives as kingdom children. Yes, we love to talk about our troubles. We love to talk about it with each other. We love to talk about the politics. We love to talk about especially our physical troubles and ailments. But the first thing that we need to remember is our relationship with the Lord. And whether we pray about those things that we like to talk about so much. I say to many, listen, if we talk 20 minutes or 15 minutes or 10 minutes about the problems in the country and politics, then we must take 5 or 10 or 15 minutes to go and pray about it. That's how God wants to see that we are serious. That persistent prayer, in a sense, is not about God, it's about us. To realize how much we need Him. To realize we can do nothing without Him. Yes, what do we do with those concerns? Persistent prayer, I want to say it again, does not mean that we could tell God or force God to do what we want. And persistent praying also does not mean that we think God does not know what we need and we have to remind Him on a frequent basis about it. No. But as I said, it shows that we depend on Him. And God will answer in His own good time. He will. Not like the unrighteous judge. No, He will, because He's dealing with the elect, with His children. Sometimes it takes longer, and sometimes we get frustrated. But even that God does for His own glory and our benefit, He made us wait. Sometimes to teach us to just be patient. Sometimes to increase our thanksgiving when we finally receive the blessing out of His hand. Sometimes we wait because God has a greater blessing for us in store than what we think at the time. Sometimes for reason known to God alone. And sometimes He doesn't even give us the reason, as He's done with Job. He never gave Job the reason of his adversary, of his trials. He has just shown him at the end of that book, you can read that again. He has shown him how powerful he was. And he said, basically said, I am the answer. God is the answer. And because we know that, we may know each time is always perfect. And His answer is always perfect. Don't lose heart, therefore. He will answer. Pray persistently, because Satan is already conquered. Thus, even when we plead our case before God, we are not like the woman all alone. No, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal mediator, who pleads our case before the Father. We are never fighting a losing battle. We are part of God's cause, and we are pleading God's cause. We pray because we know, doesn't matter what, God loves His elect. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You that You love us so much that we may trust You completely. And Lord, if we have not in these times that we are living in, I pray that we would repent. We pray that You would draw us closer unto You, to once again rediscover, Lord, the power of prayer and the joy of persistent prayer as we discover in ourselves with our day and night praying before you how much we really need you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last